May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read a few verses to you. This is from John chapter 3, verse 36. It says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." Chapter 5, John, verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." John chapter 6, verse 47 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." The point of that being that the language there is in the present tense, not some future date. When I first became a Christian, and John 3:16, which is the most famous verse in all the Bible, when I would read John 3:16, or when people preach John 3:16, in any kind of evangelistic setting, John 3:16, is that if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. And that was about getting to go to heaven one day. Because eternal, eternity, certainly has the idea of futuristic reality. But it really doesn't. I mean, it does, because it lasts forever, but it really doesn't. The word eternal, just as the word is the word aeon, it means age. But not just age, the word aeon can carry into the future, but it's an age that can go on and on. But particular ages, even in human terms, have characteristics. There was the Iron Age, there was the this age and that age. And so when the word age there, the word aeon means an age or a season or a time that has certain characteristics, certain quality, there's certain nature to it. But when he talks about eternal life, that word zoe is God's life. So it's a season or an age or a time where the quality of God's life can be enjoyed. Sometimes we'll say life as it's lived in heaven, but that's the quality of God's life to be enjoyed. And therefore it says that if you believe, you have that quality of the life that God lives in heaven now, not one day. Though one day, when you give up this body, 2 Corinthians 5 says you'll be swallowed up by that life. There won't be any more filters. But the possession of that is ours now. As a matter of fact, it says in John 17:3, it says, "This is eternal life." So I'm going to read it to you the way, in light of how the word know should express itself in the original language. "This is eternal life, that you experientially and intimately know God, know the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Experiential, intimate, not just knowledge, but the experience of someone, intimate experience of someone. He said that's eternal life. In Hebrews, this is kind of like Baptist Bible drill. Hebrews, if you've ever been to Baptist camp. I grew up a Methodist, so we didn't carry Bibles to our camp, so. We took drugs most of the time to our camps. This is Hebrews chapter 6. He says, and speaking, he said, "For in verse 4, for in the case of those who have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the aeon," it's the word eternal, "the powers of the age to come." And so eternal life, which we get to experience in the present tense, is the quality of God's life and the powers of that kind of life, the supernatural aspect of that, the powers of the age to come. We don't have to wait for then. It's ours now. So becoming a Christian doesn't guarantee me a place in heaven first. That's just one of the consequences. It guarantees heaven's place in me now, and the quality of God's life and the powers of that realm now. That's why every Christian lives a supernatural life and should manifest that supernatural life in signs and wonders. It's just reality of it all. This is John, 1 John 1. These are crazy great verses. I've read this a million times in this church. If I live long enough, it'll be 2 million before I die. Verse 1, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard." That sounds like not an inanimate object or a theory or a philosophy or an offer. It sounds a lot like a person. "What was from the beginning and what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes and what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested to us, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life." Not the message, That'd be, and proclaimed you eternal life. We proclaimed you the eternal life, which we handled, which we saw, we touched, we beheld, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So he declares there the eternal life. We said it's the quality of God's life. Even making it simpler, it's Jesus. This is 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the witness that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Eternal life is the age to come life that Jesus lives. It's the heavenly life. It's Jesus in the heavenly life, the supernatural life he lives. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. It's a person and the life he lives. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this confidence we have before him. Here's the deal. We have Christians all the time crying out in great sincerity for God to do more, for God to give them more, for God to do a greater work and release supernatural things in their life, to break through. Jesus is your breakthrough. You can't get more than him. Christians crying out for a life of victory. Lord, I just want to have this life of victory. I've read about it. I want to be free from these issues that I'm struggling with all the time. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and in that place he made us alive and raised us up out of that in Christ and seated us in heavenly places, eternal life. Raised us up out of what? The death of trespasses and sins. Jesus' victory at the cross was a crushing defeat to the reign of sin. And so we pray for it. I understand. I remember doing that years ago. Oh, God, I just want to experience what this person said about their life, and I heard that speaker say. I just want to know that life, that abundant life. And then I understood one day. I got it. He who has the Son has that life. Everything that you long for as a Christian, every place that you'd like to arrive to as a Christian, you arrived at when you became a Christian. Everything that you're wanting, hoping to attain, he's already attained for you. It's all in him. This really familiar verse that people use a lot in witnessing, and a great verse for that, but it means much more than that. This is written to Christians. This is Romans chapter 6. If your Romans chapter 6 doesn't look like this, then you've not studied Romans chapter 6. Okay. The Bible is a coloring book. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. And if you'll go back and look in the last part of chapter 5, it uses the term gift and free gift over and over again. And the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's free gift. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to jump through any hoops. He already did that for me. The cross was the final hoop. He's done it. I don't have to do any spiritual calisthenics, jump through any kind of hoops. The free gift of God is the life that Jesus lives in for me in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, of course, I have it. The Christian lives the eternal life, the age to come life, and all the powers that come with that, that Jesus lives. That's the free gift. It's because I'm in Christ, the Christian gets to live the eternal life that Jesus lives and all that's involved in that. Free gift. Why do we treat it like it isn't a free gift? Why do we keep thinking that sometime, one day, we're going to get there? You were born there. Wherever that there is to you, when you read the book and you hear the missionary and you hear the story and you want to be there, you were born there in Christ. He's the there. What they're telling about what's happening to him was his story. He wants to live his story in you and through you. It may look like different assignments, but it's the same story. I love that statement. The Christian lives in the eternal life Jesus lives. That is so cool. I don't have to drive my 1964 Volkswagen around. I was placed into his Lamborghini, and I can just enjoy it. I get to live in the Lamborghini that Jesus drives instead of the 64 Volkswagen that I want to drive for Jesus. All righty? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, Uncle Chuck didn't say God promised you a Lamborghini. I was using that metaphorically in terms of if having a Lamborghini is what God wants to use to meet your assignment, he will meet your needs, but he will not meet your greeds, okay? Jesus wasn't born in America. So he doesn't understand the American nightmare, dream.